Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and hey, the new year is just around the corner, and what better way to start off just a couple of days before New Year's by finding out how we can be more, well, aware, you might say, in shopping, in doing that aspect of wellness that we need for ourselves through our food and through other products that we might use. My guest today, Kathy Lodoit, is absolutely, totally committed to being available for telling people about what they can use, why it's good, what we should look to improve our lifestyle, the foods that we eat, and all kinds of good things. We're going to be talking about her wonderful book, Shopper's Guide to Healthy Living. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you really do have a passion for,
yeah.
What do I want to say, an environmentally positive positioning about being able to make a difference in the world by the choices that we make.
Right.
Your book here I found so interesting. You talk about everything from water filtering system to pancakes.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this is a lady that really has a lot to share. So let's start off with what it was that made you evolve into the shift of wanting to educate other people regarding healthier ways for us as individuals as well as for the very environments that we live in.
Well, that's a really good point, because before I figured all this out, I was a junk food junkie, and I ate things that were convenient and low, and not low calorie, but I counted my calories. So I was completely eating the American way. And then my brother-in-law about 8 years ago died of brain cancer, and I had issues with several of my children. One of them wasn't growing, and one was in trouble in school, and one was in and out of the emergency room all the time. So as we changed our diet because of my brother-in-law's issues, then we noticed that all our family health issues went away, and I just couldn't believe how much it was related to what we were eating, how much our health issues were related to that. And I had to tell everybody, because if people knew, they would probably, it's easier to change if you realize the benefits. But if you don't see the benefits of eating healthy food, you know, there's not a lot of point.
Well, we're all being bombarded with so many different points of information. And understanding the value of food and how important it is,
right,
is an ongoing process, because there is a change. It's evolving not just with the layperson, but also that in and of itself is forcing a change within the medical community too.
Right, right. Medical doctors were taught medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just now learning that food is related to our health, and that what we consume makes a big difference. It seems like they're learning along with a lot of us.
Yes, they are. And it's really a tough learning curve.
Right,
it's not
right.
Fun when you have a patient come in and they say, sorry, doc, I'm taking XYZ units of vitamin D. And they go, what do you mean? That's too much. No,
right.
Doctor, haven't you read the latest report?
Yeah.
So
right.
It really does make a difference. Now, you not only go into talking about nutrition, and in your book you say you're not a doctor, you're not
right.
A medical person, but this is what your research in real-life experience has shown you, and you also clarify that you're not advocating any company or anything just because of their
right.
Name. You're doing it because of what you have personally experienced, which I think is the value of your book. Now,
right.
I have to chuckle, because right in front of your book you say your family and friends do think you're a little wacko. They
yes.
Call you obsessed, right?
Yes. In fact, one friend of mine said the other day, you can change any topic to be about health, can't you? I'll just watch TV, just watching football last night, and I said, you know, I can tell that coach eats good, and that one needs to eat better based on their skin. My husband's like, oh, my gosh.
They go, oh, here she goes again.
Yeah.
Watch out, get those chips and dip, you know, out of the way.
Right.
But seriously, that there are so many contradictions in
right.
today's world, and you point out you have people on one side of the camp say we've got to have fluoride in water. On the other side, fluoride is a poison.
Right.
You're encouraged to eat fish, but then there's the toxicity and the pollutants in the water, and they will tell you, yeah, you should eat, you know, tons of fish, but on the other hand, you're taking in all of these pollutants that the
right.
fish are consuming themselves via the food chain that they
right.
are part of. So you have all of this. Now, how in the world did you get comfortable in dealing with this?
I take it back to the source. I want to eat food as it was made. The closer you get to the way it was made, the better off you are. So food without pesticides, food without hormones, food without antibiotics, and even food uncooked is better for you. The closer you get it back to the way you would have picked it out of the ground or the way it would have grown from nature is best for you. That's the way your body was made to process these things. And when you eat those foods, you actually look and feel your best. I am absolutely amazed at the changes in how we feel and even in how we look. I'm 47, and I literally have fewer wrinkles than I did when I was 40.
Mm-hmm.
And not many women get to say that. You don't usually get rid of wrinkles as you age.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that is a known fact. Let's face it. We're all going to be vain about our looks. None of us like to have, you know, ugly-looking skin. None of us
right.
want to have dry, brittle hair. At least we women don't. I don't know
right.
about the guys. I can't speak for them. But, I mean,
right.
even men, they will, you know, their physiology responds differently than the female physiology to things. And it seems to me, in my observation, that women, if they're smokers, their skin shows it very much more rapidly than it does with men. If
right.
they take in a lot of alcohol, it's the same thing. It's as if it reflects through us so quickly.
It does. It can happen just the very next day. You've probably done the same experiment I've done. I'll eat good food and then look in the mirror the next day and think, wow, I look pretty good today for me. And then the days that I'll have junk food, like during Christmas, then I'll wake up and say, gosh, I just don't feel very good. I don't look my best.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely happens that fast.
Mm-hmm. It really can. Also, you go into dealing with some of the laws that have been passed, like with the Pure Food and Drug Act, which
right.
was passed in 1906.
Right.
And something was incorporated, a product called bleach.
Right.
And we have our bleached flowers. It says so right on the label. There's no hiding it. It's right there.
Right.
And many different components ended up becoming a part of food for preservative factors.
Right. Right. Things like aspartame would never have been allowed in 1906, but then things like partially hydrogenated oils and the trans fats that we use today and those kinds of things, they would never have been allowed in 1906 because it was the Pure Food Act. But in 1938, they changed the Pure Food Act, and the government started controlling, the FDA started controlling medicine and makeup and quit monitoring the food as much. And now we rely on the food manufacturers to tell, and food manufacturing in itself is an issue for me. It should be food out of the ground or food handling, but manufacturing is part of the problem. But the food manufacturers are doing the testing that tells the FDA whether it's safe for us or not. Well, if they're making money by telling me it's good for me, then how am I really to believe it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay attention to who's making the money.
Now, there are many companies that are starting to bring out environmentally friendly products because
right.
the consumer is demanding it.
Right, right. And if it's good for us, it's good for the environment. It's a win-win there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is what is important. Now, the reality is everything in life is chemistry. Everything.
Right.
There's, whether you're dealing with a plant, food, is, you know, however it's processed, there's always the chemistry that
right.
is going to create the harmony or the disharmony physically.
Right.
You bring up your concern about are being a pill-popping society, you know, if something goes wrong or if something isn't working right. And you had experience with your own children,
right.
and you've seen so many things happen in the family.
Right. And we do want that instant gratification. And when you're trying to heal from some issues and you use food to heal those things, it can take longer than it does to pop a pill. So I understand that we all want an instant gratification, and we're used to that. So it takes a little while to get used to food being the thing that helps you, and it is a slower process. You know, you can get Botox and you walk out of the office and your wrinkles are all better. And the food will take a little longer. Will take, you'll see results, but it will be a slower process. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be a slower process.
Now, we did see results with my child.
Excuse me?
We did see results with my child. We took him off the color dyes like you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and he was no longer had behavior issues. He used to be in the principal's office all the time, and when I took him off sugar, it took him off color dyes, and the behavior issues went away. I couldn't believe it. And then we went to Disney World, and he had, of course, junk food because that's all they had there. It was about after six months of eating good, and he went back to his you know,
mm-hmm.
little behavior problems. It was kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that many people have talked about, the relationship of nutrition with children, the effects on the brain,
right,
and also how it affects adults. And I still don't hear very much of that through media at this time.
Right.
And I think that because it's such a simple, basic observation, that it's tough to let go of those patterns that have become almost part of a process of indoctrination.
Right.
But
right.
There is so much research. I had a physician on my show just within the last month who, in dealing with cancer, because of changes in diet, she was able to see results. She is very committed to this. She's out of New York.
Good for her. That's
and
great.
She is so committed to nutrition because of what she has seen. And
right.
The results that have been attained of wellness, not by 100%, but by a good 80-plus percent of the people she's interacted with, it has astonished her. And she's researched thousands and thousands of people. That's what she's all about.
Right.
So this, it really does have a lot to do with the wellness of the body. Give the tools of good nutrition to the body to work with, and it will do a lot of repair work.
Now, absolutely.
You talk about free-range animals, and I know my audience is very familiar with this.
Yes.
Now, these are becoming more and more common.
Right. Thank
and
goodness.
I had a conversation not too long ago with a friend that she was telling me about what it was like for her growing up in Vermont. And this isn't that many years ago, maybe 30 years ago when she was growing up, 40 years ago. And she said her family was very poor. Her dad would hunt. So they would get animals, you know, the wild animal meat. And she said this was deer, et cetera, that was in their environment. Where they lived, the animals were basically living off the land, and there wasn't a lot of pollution where the animals were consuming that. But
right.
The wild game typically is extremely lean. In fact, I've heard that if you have moose sometimes, and it can be caribou meat or anything like that, or deer, it can sometimes be so lean you have to actually add fat to it.
Right, right. I have to add oil if my husband
right.
has
so,
hunting, yeah.
so to make it palatable.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, it's just very difficult. To,
right, and it's tricky to cook. It's still, you know,
it's very tricky.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have that. But free range, that isn't something that is really all that common, and it's really quite expensive relative to what people can get in the supermarket.
Right, right. The best way to get free-range meat, I have found, is to find someone raising them and to buy it straight from them. Because to go to through the stores and through the more expensive town and country has fantastic meat, and it's free-range, but it is more expensive. But so to go through them, you're going to pay more. But Consumer Reports says that if you're going to spend money in an area on organic food, it ought to be in your meat. That's one of the areas that's the most important to prevent cancer, is to get free-range and antibiotic and hormone-free meat. So I really recommend people look around in their area. There's almost always someone who knows someone who's got a cow who would split it with you. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you just have to ask around. And because we, now that we started doing that, it's coming out of the woodwork. People are like, oh, yeah, I need someone to buy my cows. Okay, I'll look for somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely very important because organic meat can be very expensive in the stores, like you're talking about. But it is one area that we want to put our money toward. There are some things that don't really matter, like, you know, pineapple. First of all, it's tough to get an organic pineapple, but nobody talks about the dangers of the chemicals in the pineapples. And even asparagus, you don't hear people talking about those. But there are some areas that it's really important to spend our money on, and one of them is the meats and the eggs, and then the fruits and vegetables where we eat the skin. Those are very important.
That is true, because so many of the pesticides that are used, You actually, they've proven you cannot always wash them off.
Oh, right, right. They're, and they've used them so many times that they're actually in the soil and going back into the plant. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you want to be really careful with, there's a dirty dozen, you've probably heard about those, but that you want to be careful with apples and peaches and any berries and those kinds of grapes, those kinds of fruits and vegetables that where you're eating the skin, lettuce and spinach. We know the scare that America had with spinach a while ago. Well, it wasn't organic spinach, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. If you're going to put your money towards something, that's where I recommend people put their money towards. And then you're saving the money on, if you're not buying the chips and those kinds, the $4 bag of chips and the processed frozen foods that, you know, you stick in a microwave and heat up. Those are so much more expensive that your grocery bill might only went up by 10%. And that was with buying everything organic, you know, not picking and choosing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you bring up something regarding water.
Yes.
We are fortunate in this country because we have really the greatest amount of safe water to drink in the world.
Right.
In many respects. And that has enabled the country overall to enjoy a level of wellness and longevity in life in many
right.
instances that otherwise wouldn't be there if you look at history.
Right. And that
water.
Is thanks to chemicals. That really is.
Mm-hmm. And
yes.
so... One of the issues, though, that a lot of people have contention with, I know even in our own local area, and that is when they turn on the water, they smell chlorine.
Absolutely. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes. Now, one of the things that I know keeps a lot of the issues, the creepy crawlers that can be invisible to us, but in the water that can cause cholera, you know, all dysentery, all kinds of things, chlorine does take care of that. That eliminates it.
Right.
A way I know to deal with chlorine is if you have water, let it set for a while. You know, let it air out, and the chlorine actually will disappear out of it. But
right.
when you're running water, can't. Now, you can get a filter system, though, for that, can't you?
Right, you can. And the best ones are $300 or $400. They're called reverse osmosis, and they go under your sink. And the issue with them is they're going to waste water because they're... They clean so much of the water, they get it so clean that they actually use, for every one cup of water, you're going to use up two, and you're going to put them back into the system. So it is wasteful to water, but that's why they recommend you just put it under your sink, and you just use it for your drinking and your cooking. And then there's a filter you can put on your shower, because if there's chlorine in your water, if you're on city water, there is chlorine in your water, and if there is, your skin is absorbing that, and your skin will absorb it just as readily as you will drinking it. And it will be very harmful to you also, and you'll breathe that chlorine in when you shower. So it's very good to get a filter on your shower also.
You have a number of different items that you bring up, like different types of flour, like spelt flour, which
right.
is so old as a flour. It's been around forever. You talk about organic shampoos and
right.
you know, using all kinds of different things. When you've done your research on this, when you have worked with this, how did this impact your thinking? Because this didn't happen overnight with you. You've been involved with this and are still continuing to learn and
right.
grow with it. How have you been able to check out a lot of your resources and information instead of just guessing or assuming?
Most of it I read in books because I think the internet can be tainted sometimes. You know, it's easy to post something on the internet. So most of it is from books and from experts. And the way I determine it is if I've read it, you know, I read hundreds of books. I'm constantly reading to figure this stuff out and listening to the experts and those kinds of things. But what's so difficult for people is how to apply it. So what I try to do is absorb that and say, here's the things that you ought to apply. Here's the ones that are important. And I figure if I've heard it 15 to 20 times from well-known experts, then I believe it, you know, and it's almost always at least 5 times, but often 15 to 20. I mean, I'll just keep reading over and over and over, and I'll say, well, here's a theme. You know, if you use flax oil, you're going to get the omega-3s you need to prevent depression and cancer and those other things. When I continue to read that, whether I'm reading about allergies or asthma or cancer or diabetes, that's when I want to tell people about it. But if I've just heard someone's idea once, then I wait and make sure that it's a proven theory. So I keep checking on it.
Now, you say your family has been pretty much off of the fast food
right.
route for a long, long time.
Right.
So that means you probably pack up a lot of stuff. If you go to football games or something like that, you take your food along with you.
Is well, that... yes, and I'm not really, I'm not as prepared as a lot of moms. So I'm one of those moms that, you know, well, we forgot food, you'll just have to wait kind of thing. But we will throw some carrots in a bag, and I am into the quick and easy. So, like, even my green drink that we will drink, we have a vegetable drink we drink in the mornings. It's a powdered drink. I don't mix it up myself. I do on occasion, but the one we use out of the refrigerator is cold processed, and it's a good, healthy green drink that's quick. So a lot of my foods are quick, and we'll just grab an apple and take it with us. That's where I kind of can help the busy mom, because I am sort of on the lazy side in terms of food. So I'm not one of those moms that has, you know, takes the big picnic basket everywhere she goes and does that stuff, which I think is wonderful, but I just have never had the energy for that. So it's quick and easy food, and we just have them grab it on the way in, and we always make sure we try to drink a glass of water on the way out or the way in, so we're getting enough water. It's a really good trick. And that's the kind of stuff I'll put in that book is, here's some tricks, here's some easy ways to stay healthy, so... I do a healthy hint too, Donna. Your listeners can sign up for free if they go to my website, which is shoppersguidetohealthyliving.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sign up and get this free healthy hint I send out once a week or once a month, and I remind people simple ways to stay healthy.
Okay, that's shoppersguidetohealthyliving.com.
Right.
So they can go in there and get a little bit of something extra.
Right, right. It gives a lot of these little ideas. It's just nice to have someone reminding you, don't forget your water. You know, today it was about cleaning products and those kinds of things. And it, even over Christmas, it was, you know, just enjoy the holidays and we'll get back to being healthy on the New Year.
Right. Well, one of the things I found very interesting that I was just recently introduced to by a woman, Teresa Tapp, who is very much involved in physical wellness, is dry brushing the skin. I had never heard of that. And I found it in your material, and it helps the lymphatic system quite a bit.
It does, and it feels good.
Mm-hmm. And just making sure you brush the skin before you shower and, you know, brushing towards the heart. And I think all of these little things, when we can become aware of them, be aware of supplementation,
right,
and using that, you talk about using stainless steel pans,
right,
which I don't know about any of my listeners, but I find often the Teflon pans, which are handy dandy, but they start deteriorating. It doesn't take much for that coating to deteriorate.
Right, and that PFOA, that's what's coming off those pans, is it's called PFOA. It is so toxic to us to even breathe in. So we want to make sure we're using pans that don't have those things. And actually, like the cast iron skillet that your grandma used to use, those become like Teflon once you've used them for a while. It's amazing how little sticks to those.
Well, that's true, but they weigh 10 tons.
Yes, they do. So I count that as a workout.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. All right, so she can, there you go, folks. Keep your arms in shape. That's what you do.
No. It's all good. I tend to take the attitude that, you know, if it will do no harm and it might do good, then we probably ought to be doing it, and especially if it doesn't cost a lot of money, like the lymph brushing and then using the cast iron skillets or the stainless steel. It's all, you know, a lot of it's an experiment. I mean, a lot of it's been proven, the PFOAs and stuff, but everybody says, well, everything gives me cancer, so why am I going to worry about it? Well, I don't want to find out that I experimented on the wrong side. You know, I used the processed foods and I used the Teflon and I didn't get a shower filter and those things, and then I found out I have cancer and it's a little late. I would rather spend a little extra energy and a little extra time and you know, use these good ideas and know I'm taking care of things and that I'm not going to get those diseases.
Now, you have some real fun recipes in here, and you talk about how one can pack their lunch and be very, very healthy. You talk about how to make your own pancake syrup if you want to make it. Of course, maple syrup is the real thing, too.
Right, that's even better, yeah.
Right. But you also go into various resources in your book, which I thought was really very, very positive. You talk about like a bread-making machine, blood typing kits. It's amazing how many people don't know what blood type they are. And the only way most people will be able to know their blood type is if they go to donate blood.
Right.
Because even doctors don't typically know what people's blood type is.
Right, right. I had to call around. We couldn't even find it on one of my children, who was born here in the state we live in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing your blood type can really help, because there are foods that can be good for some blood types and foods that are good for other blood types. So if you know those things, you may be eating things that agree more with your food. It might be part of the reason why some people are vegetarians and some people want meat.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that their blood type wants that stuff.
Oh,
it's one theory, but it's good to experiment with those things and see.
Well, I think it's good to keep the mind open and to realize that we're always going to be in a process of educating ourselves.
Right.
And it's just like with a component of chlorine. In some respects, it is very good to have it in the water system. In
right.
other respects, if you put too much in, it's a detriment.
Right.
And I think that we're reaching a point where maybe in previous generations we weren't so willing to question, whereas today we're saying, wait a minute, my neighbor, Jane down here, she did this, and this is the change that happened with her.
Right.
So-and-so did this. And so the communication among people and also the research that's being done. We have more, because of the Internet, more information that's going out there, and it's important not to come from a position of fear,
right.
but from a positioning of educating ourselves and being willing to question, because what works for one may not work for the other.
Absolutely, and that's, I don't want people to worry that everything might cause cancer or whatever it might cause. We just need to be aware, like you're saying, and to control the things we're willing to control and we want to control, because some of them we don't want. Some people will not want to give up their coffee. And some people will not want to give up their ice cream or, you know, their Teflon pants. So then we make those choices and we give up the other things that we're now aware of because of all this learning. And then we feel more in control of our health.
Mm-hmm. I think
feel
that's
better.
Important. And
right.
I think that, again, when it comes to food, there's a lot of food growers out there and even wine growers that
right.
are getting into it saying, wait a minute, we're seeing a difference. We're seeing a better quality, a better result. So I think people like you are contributing. In your own way, because of what you have seen that has affected your own family, affected your life,
right.
you've been able to make some changes. Your book is The Shopper's Guide to Healthy Living. And, Kathy, you also have a website, shoppersguidetohealthyliving.com, where people will be able to have access to all
right.
kinds of interesting points of information. And I know we're just about out of time here, but for you as an individual, what has been the most liberating factor? And that's an interesting word to use,
right.
but I would like to say that word, in making this awareness present in your life of being consciously present about certain things. How do you feel with this?
I am amazed at how great it makes me feel. I raise 4 children and work, you know, on the book, and I speak, and I teach, and I do in-home teaching people how to get healthy and those kinds of things. And I'm amazed at how much I am never tired. I'm always full of energy. And it's not a fake energy. It's a constant. It's not the surge because I don't do the caffeine. You know, it's not the sugar high because I don't do that. It's a constant, nonstop, good feeling all day long that I absolutely don't worry about getting diseases or issues because I know I'm doing all I can. And there's things I can't do. Things I'm not going to worry about, but I'm doing all I'm capable of doing, and I feel like I'm helping my body be able to fight whatever comes in. And that is absolutely liberating, like you're saying, Dawn. It's this freedom that my children will on occasion whine, we don't have any good food, you know, and I'll say, I will not poison you to make you happy. You know, I will continue to teach you the right things to eat because that's my job as a mother. And I know you'll make choices. But I will teach you what's right for your body because it is liberating. It's amazing how good it makes you feel.
Well, Kathy, I commend you. I think it's wonderful. I appreciate your giving us your time today. And
thank
I think
you,
it's
Donna.
A good way to start thinking about this new year that is evolving.
It really is. It's a great time to start. That we started on a January 1st 1 year. And
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. We'll never go back. The kids still find the value, even though they wish for the, you know, the good candies, the yummy candies.
Who doesn't? I mean,
that's
the fact of life.
Right.
And I think in general, if you are attentive to your wellness, if you do treat yourself well, if you're willing to educate yourself, and don't try to do everything at once.
Right.
Take little tiny baby steps. It
right.
is liberating because you are going to see a difference in yourself, in the quality of life that you live, and hey, since we're all going to be living perhaps over 100 years of age,
yeah,
it's never too soon to start, is it?
Right, right. It's amazing the difference it makes.
Kathy.
Absolutely amazing. So.
Say, Kathy, thank you very much for being my guest today.
Kathy, thank you, Donna.
Lloydolt has been my guest. Her last name is spelled Lloidolt. Her book is Shopper's Guide to Healthy Living. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Hey, telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Here are the toll-free numbers you can call in to if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222, so any of all of those are available to you. Give me a buzz, and I'll be able, just after you're telling me your first name or initial, of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from, then let me do my intuitive perception, and then after that, you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Now, I do want to say this. If you're interested in getting fit and fabulous for 2009 and you want to see if you can be one of the 3 lucky winners for the drawing for Teresa Tapp's Fit and Fabulous package, you've got to send me an email because I believe we're going to be doing the drawing tomorrow and then I'll be making the announcement on Wednesday. So that's just before New Year. So we're going to do the drawing tomorrow. I don't know the exact time, but we are going to be pulling names out of the e-pot, so you need to be sure that you have put your entry in. So send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And be sure to put in the subject line, the Donna Sivo Show, and then the code DSS30. DSS30. That's very important because I get so many emails. If you don't have that code in there on the subject line, then I'm not going to be able to recognize it as an entry. So please send it to me today, tomorrow at the latest, so that we have the opportunity to make the drawing. It'll probably be after the show tomorrow that we'll be making the drawing, and then on Wednesday I'll be making the announcement, also contacting you. So I need your contact information in the body of the email as well. So what are you getting in this package? Well, each of these gifts are worth over $100. Teresa is going to be putting in there the information on the body brushing system that we just mentioned earlier when I was chatting with Kathy. Hey, your lymphatic system is improved. Your skin is improved. It is absolutely awesome. So she's going to give you a how-to on that. Also, she's going to have her 15-minute workout, which I love. I do it almost every day, and it has toned me up 25 inches overall. So if you have a friend, if you want to enter, I don't care. Get it into me tomorrow because I do believe it'll be after tomorrow's show that we'll be doing the drawing, and then I'll be making the announcement on Wednesday. Yes, that is going to be the day of New Year's Eve, but it's a great time to let you know that you have won it, and if you are not able to tune into the show, we will be contacting you, but the winners will be announced on Wednesday. So again, get it into me. Send me an email, Donna@Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com, and be sure that in the subject line you put the Donna Sebo Show and the code DSS-30. DSS-30, so I can put it all in the pot. I'm really excited because I have interacted with Teresa now for so long. I've been using her system for a year, and I can tell you, you are one lucky person if you get this package because it's going to enable you to really feel good about yourself and get fit and fabulous in 2009, and she even has a technical support group that you can be in touch with if you have any questions about anything that she talks about. So it's really great. Don't forget, this is the time to do it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. For Friday, I started telling you a story. It's about a city of ice. We are discovering through so many archaeological finds that life on Earth is a lot older than what we had assumed or thought we had correct evaluations about. We're finding that this planet is really so old, I don't know that we'll ever know its exact age, but that the species of humans has been here for a good deal of time, too, a lot longer than has been supposed. But this story that I had shared with you on Friday, I ran out of time, so I couldn't finish it. But it's about the city of ice. Now, this is related by Ed Farrell. This is a researcher, and he just loves the strange and the unusual. And he was able to interview different people and find records that maybe people have forgotten about. In his research, he discovered this information about a George Kershon's discovery in Alaska of a very, very ancient city. And it's somewhere along the Yukon River, and they haven't been able to resolve this yet. And the story was originally printed in the San Francisco Examiner and reprinted in the Wonders of Alaska in 1891. And the person that reported it in 1891 knew the individual, George Kershon, and said, this really is a true story. Now, what happened is that in the summer of 1888, so we're going past a fair number of years here, Mr. Kershon was in Juneau, and he was with some other people. They formed a party, and they were going to be prospecting along an unknown fork of the Yukon River. They had a real bad time with it. If any of you are familiar with Alaska, as I am, you know that weather can change instantaneously, and it is rough. Alaska is a tough, tough land. And they were having a terrible time making any progress to their destination, and they had finally gotten to a place where there was a 100-foot waterfall. It took them 3 days to get around that, and after they got around that particular waterfall, it was a little bit easier. They followed the river, and it flattened out a bit, and the country was a lot easier to go through. There was a lot of game, so they didn't have to worry about running out of food. And George said that he thought that they were at the head of this particular river, and they really wanted to be sure that they were in the right place that they had aimed for. But snow started to fall. They found that the summer that they were experiencing was really going to be a short one. And they just kept on pushing ahead. And again, in Alaska, you have like a 3-month window. Sometimes you only have a 1-month window of summer weather. So you really have to make sure that you get a moving and you really don't waste any time on anything because you don't have very much summer weather. Well, they decided that they wanted to camp at a particular mountain range, at the foot of a particular mountain range, and that they were going to be in this one location for winter. And they were able to find a very good locale. They got everything set up. They had all their preparations for winter. And the weather, they knew, was really going to be harsh, very, very harsh. But they found themselves at this spot in a deep ravine, had a lot of high cliffs, which helped to keep the wind from hitting them so hard. And again, they had a lot of game. So they really were pleased. Now, before long, it's just amazing how fast winter started coming in. And he said there were many times you couldn't even get out of the place that we had built because the winds were so furious, and without sun, which often it was so gray they didn't have any, it really was tough. Now, towards the end of the winter months, they said that it began to get a little brighter. They got a little bit more sun, and that's the way it goes, because you're accustomed to what they call the midnight sun, the moon, more in winter in Alaska, and it stays dark for long, long, long periods. Well, George decided one day he was going to try to scale one of the mountains that was near them, but he got very tired very quickly because they had been pinned in and confined for so long because of the bad weather. And he put an idea before one of the Indian guides that they had worked with, and I said, would one of you go with me? I really feel like I need to get out and I need to move around. They said, sure. And this one person decided he was going to accompany George as he was going to climb this mountain. However, shortly after they started the climb, a real bad storm came in and went on for 3 days. Once the weather settled down, they decided, okay, now we'll go out in earnest. We hadn't been able to go too far because of the weather. Now, they went right up the line of the frozen river, naturally, solid mass of ice, and all they had to do was walk on it, no danger of it cracking on them and them falling through. But they went 20 miles on this river of ice, found a very steep rise, and they eventually, in their climbing, reached a plateau between what they called the foothills and the high range. And the stream that they were following ended, and they decided they were going to climb one of the big hills. They finally reached a point near the summit of one of the mountains that they were wanting to climb, and they said what greeted their eyes was absolutely astonishing. And this is what I want to share with you today, the rest of the city, the story about the city in ice. We're going to take a break, though, and we're going to be back in just a moment, so don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. 582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756. And just know, all I need is your first name or initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you like. Now, here's the rest of the story about the city in ice, and I'm going to read it exactly as George Kershon related the story in the 1888 article. He said, "You may depend upon it, I was surprised to see it. At first, I thought it was some fantastic arrangement of ice and snow, which had assumed the form of a city. But examination with the glass showed that such was not the case. It being too regular in appearance, it was a city. I was determined to see more of it. I commenced to work downwards, although my Indian associate was rather frightened. He didn't consider seeing the city good medicine. Well, after several hard hours of hard work, I reached the outskirts of this mysterious city and found that the place was laid out in streets with blocks of strange-looking buildings that appeared to be mosques, towers, ports, etc., and every evidence of having been built by art. The whole was not of solid ice, though it seemed to be, but blows from a hatchet on one of the walls disclosed the fact that beneath this barrier of ice was some sort of building material. It looked to be wood, but of a stone-like hardness and apparently petrified. The silence around the place was something ghostly. Not the slightest sound broke the awful stillness of the place, which, added to the weird look of the empty streets, made it gruesome enough. I soon got tired of investigating the city, as the streets were blocked in many places, with huge masses of ice rendering passage almost impossible. My Indian associate became uneasy, and we started on the return trip, reaching home the next day, tired but satisfied that we had been the first men to gaze on that silent city for centuries. After the spring broke, I made some strikes in nugget gold at the headwaters of the river, working with the Indians through the summer months, leaving camp for the Yukon about the end of August. We reached that river all right, the trip down being easy, and in due time I got back to Juneau, where I took the steamer for the south. It was a while I was at Juneau that I saw a newspaper with an account of a mirage seen at Muir Glacier. I did not make any allusions to this, though, as I did not think anyone would believe me, but I'm positive that the mirage of Muir Glacier is the reflection of the frozen city found by me. In accounting for the presence of this wonderful reflected city, I'll have to leave that to abler heads. You might ask me how the ruins of big cities came to be in the interior of Central America. They are there, but who built them? Nobody knows. Perhaps at one time it was not so cold in the north as it is now. And that's the end of the story. There are so many places we are discovering all over the globe that supposedly should not have existed, but they do. And with each discovery that's made, now his was in 1888, it's not been found yet. But as things are changing on the planet, as areas warm up, many of the areas that we look at as the frozen areas of the world were very tropical at one time. So who knows what's going to be discovered? There's a blue ox up in the Fairbanks Museum in Alaska, near their university there, and I've seen it. And it was an ox, and it's absolutely amazing. It is a blue ox. You have it there. And the story is just fascinating. And it was found by someone who was out prospecting, and it was totally frozen in ice for a long, long time. And they had to be very careful about how they removed it so that they would be able to keep all of it together, which they did, and you can see it on display. That's right, right up there in Fairbanks, Alaska. So truth often is much stranger than fiction, and the story about the city under ice in Alaska, well, that's just one of them. This is Donna Sebo, and I want you to know that tomorrow we're going to be talking about brain wave vibration. Dr. Sun Lee is going to be my guest. This is a topic that is becoming so much more in the forefront because of people having the technology that enables us to investigate the abilities of the brain. And it is something we're going to be talking more and more about in the coming months because of various materials that I've had. And we're going to be talking with those physicians and scientific research who are finding ways that we can actually empower people to utilize their brains much more effectively. People that have maybe certain diseases, being able to help them repair areas of the brain that they didn't think they could ever repair before. It's absolutely marvelous. It is fascinating. And again, we're going to be talking about this a little bit, brainwave vibration, tomorrow and in the coming months. Some real good research that's coming up there. But also, we have got just a tremendous lineup of people that are going to be coming up in the new year. My goodness, it's hard to believe that that is going to be around. We're going to be talking with Gemma on January the 2nd. And Gemma is a world traveler. This is a woman who has touched the lives of literally millions of people through music and also through purpose of being able to empower them to have a better way of life. So we're going to hear her very special story on Friday. And then we are going to be talking about the year 2012. Whoa, am I getting all kinds of material on this? We're going to be talking in the next couple of months about a movie that's come out about that and also 2013. But we're going to be talking about 2012, the attitudes of various people. Jay Wiedner is going to be my guest. This is coming up next week. We're going to talk about how you can keep things simple, how you can have a better brain at any age, and all you need to do in life to make yourself successful. We've just got so many wonderful people that we are going to be talking with. We're also going to be talking about psychic surgery and face healing, all kinds of research relative to that. So we've got a great lineup of guests that are going to be coming up in January. That just gives you a little bitty sample of what we have got ahead of us, and I do hope that you will tell your friends about the Donna Sebo Show and make sure that they know that there are some fascinating topics. We also make it possible for you to archive. If you want to go in and just listen to a show whenever you feel like it, hey, that's exactly what you can do. All you have to do is go to bbsradio.com. We have a list of the shows that are coming up, and if you've missed anything, you can go to the archives, and you are going to be able to listen to it whenever it's most convenient for you. Well, I know we're just about out of time, and I wanted to be sure that I share a quote with you because I really like this. It's by someone, who is it? Oh, Bob Proctor, I think it is. He said, set a goal to achieve something that's so big, so exhilarating, that it excites you and scares you at the same time. It must be a goal that is so appealing, so much in line with your spiritual core, that you can't get it out of your mind. If you do not get chills when you set a goal, you're not setting big enough goals. Setting big enough goals. What a great way to begin a new year. Maybe you'd like to spend some time brainstorming with someone, saying, what do you see as strong points? I'm looking at this kind of a picture. This is my dream. How big could we make the dream? And it's important that you feel comfortable with that. But like you said, it needs to be big enough where you get excited, and yet you know, gee, you're stepping maybe into some unknown turf. I encounter so many people who say, Donna, I swear time is speeding up. It just seems like it's going so much faster and faster than ever before in my life. And I'm hearing this from young people as well as older individuals. Well, in many ways it is. Because it's our world today. We are expanding in our knowledge base at such a rate that we cannot go back to what would have been considered the plodding. We need the quiet time. We need the downtime. But there is a movement and a motion that is implicating change in a wonderful way. I think it's a wonderful way, and you can enjoy it too. Remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the only one that lives with you 24 hours a day. A new year is looming right ahead of you. Take advantage of it. Take some time now, between now and the 1st of January. We've only got a couple of days before we're into the new year. Give yourself that gift. What is it that is so big that when you look at it, it gives you chills, it's exciting to you and scares you at the same time? It's a good thing to do. Don't forget, get that entry into me if you want to be one of the lucky winners. We'll be pulling the drawing tomorrow after the show and then making the announcement on Wednesday, the last day of 2008. This is Donna Cebu. We'll see you here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Cebu Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Cebu Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.